Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Alexander yes. Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator of the Browns. And how he was at the Senior Bowl.
Don't fire me, Jimmy Haslam.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Now I got a comment because I've heard that promo probably 2,700 times throughout the weekend, and it's very well done. But we'll go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Daryl, were you listening, or did you just now tune in?
No, I heard it.
Okay. How much would you pay to see Alex Van Pelt at Playhouse Square, a one-man musical about the Browns?
Well, he hasn't been here long enough.
Well, it wouldn't be a very well-researched, you know,
yeah,
musical.
Yeah, no. He production time would take a while because there is tremendous amounts of research that would need be done. Now, how I would probably pay a fortune to see the Hamilton guys do a play
about the Browns, like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That would be spectacular.
What is the last play you went to at Playhouse Square? Do you remember the last one you've been to?
No, it's been a while.
Yeah.
You got to have dates for those type of things.
That's a fair point. I was just thinking, because we went to Mean Girls a couple months ago, and okay. I didn't go to many before Elise. I really didn't, and she loves them, so now I find myself over there all the time.
There you go. You're now, you should get a membership for her for a wedding gift.
Is that a thing? Do I give her a wedding gift? I thought like me being there was the wedding gift. I thought that was enough of the planning and everything. Is that really a thing? Do I have to get her a wedding gift?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
You sounded like you had inside information. I was very intrigued. I was like, well, wait a second. Am I missing out on something? Is there something I need to be? Because it sounds like the type of thing that I actually would need to be doing, and I just hadn't really thought anything of it, to be honest. But, Daryl, we got a lot to get to, okay? Because there are Browns conversations we need to have, and there are Cavs conversations we need to have. But I'm going to combine them both for you, because over the past hour I've been asking fans – which team is more dysfunctional, the Cavs or the Browns? And I think a lot of people, they instinctively go to the Browns, but when you layer this back, I think you end up with the Cavs as your answer. How do you see this?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Browns just because there's more juicy details behind the scenes when it comes to the Browns. There are many layers in the cake of dysfunction.
Like that
has been the Cleveland Browns since the Haslams bought the team. So, you know, their problems run the gamut, whereas the Cavaliers' problems you just trace back to one person. So I would probably say the Browns, the most dysfunctional, but I will give the Cavaliers credit for giving the Browns a run for their money.
Okay, that was a better answer. I went for, sunshine, rainbows, completely uplifting things, but both teams have basically turned into central casting for an episode of Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
It's just reality.
But the difference is the Browns have not had the success that the Cavaliers have had. They're above 500 in the regular season. They've been to four NBA finals since 2013. They have actually won a championship, whereas the Cleveland Browns can't even sniff 500. So, at least and I think that's why maybe the Cavaliers don't receive a lot of the attention or a lot of the anger, for their dysfunction is because of their recent success, that the Browns haven't even, come close to having. So I think that the Cavaliers to a certain extent get a bit of a pass.
Well, and I'll take it a step further here, Daryl, because in thinking about this and how this is going down with John Beilein, I might be the only person in Cleveland with this take, but I want to look at Dan Gilbert the way that Robin Williams' character looks at a young Will Hunting and says, it's not your fault. I don't believe this is really Dan Gilbert's fault. He had a plan in place. They tried to execute that plan. John Beilein changed his mind. I can fault Dan Gilbert for a million things. I'm having a hard time coming up with blame for Dan Gilbert on this one, though.
Not me. He hired him. Beilein was not the right guy for this job, much like a couple other instances in coaches and fits and, you know, the culture and all that type of thing. I understand why the hire was made. The thinking was, we're going to be a young team. Let's bring in a college coach. He can associate with the kids, so to speak, fundamentally teach the game of basketball to these guys. The problem is the NBA game is completely different than the college game. And, I've covered a handful of games this year, and I knew right away that there was trouble in Paradise, that this was not a fit. Just my experience, my vast experience of working locker rooms over the years. In fact, I was texting with James Rapine last night. I said, because I told him in the fall,
name dropper,
that John Beilein was not going to survive this year, and he told me I was crazy. So I, of course, had to text him last night, told you so, because John Beilein is not going to survive this year, as I predicted.
I like the victory laps. Those are always the best for me.
You know what? I don't get to take them often. But so when I do get to take them, I make the most of them.
Well, don't run out of breath taking this one, because you definitely were right about it. And it's funny, because I don't even remember if I'm on the right side or the wrong side of history in debating this. I remember a couple months ago when it first got brought up, and it was kind of whispers behind the scenes, and I thought to myself, there's no way that a five-year deal can just be gone just like that, and you just implode everything and try to start fresh, mainly because there's no precedent for this. You just don't see this happen. A legendary Hall of Fame college basketball coach makes the jump and then 60 games later says, yeah, this isn't really what I signed up for.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's a two-way street. You know, I think that, you know, Beilein has certainly struggled adapting. He's had many times this season where he's had to walk back things he said most recently. When he talked about the halftime adjustments, the 41-point loss to Golden State, he's sitting up there. I don't have any answers. He's basically despondent, shaking his head, doesn't, you know, really have an explanation for some of these blowout losses that they have suffered to what should have been inferior competition. Obviously, the controversial remark that he says he did not mean to make in a film session.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a fit. And like I said, there was grumbling right from the get-go this season. And that's why I knew that this was not a marriage that was going to last very long. And I think that they're to a point now. I read the reporting by The Athletic today. Apparently he has or will meet with Dan Gilbert today.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's best for everybody that you move along, because I don't know how you can coach these final 30-plus games or so of the season knowing that you're not going to be here. And if your locker room senses that, I don't know how much you gain organizationally by trying to force this thing to the finish line in mid-April. So I think they got until Friday to do something here. And it would not surprise me if J.B. Bickerstaff was coaching Friday night.
Yeah, it'd be next to impossible to see John Beilein back coaching the Cavs at any point this year. I agree 100% with you. He's Daryl Ryder, our Cavs, our Browns beat reporter here in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. For one controversial remark to the next, Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal reporting that former Browns GM John Dorsey says that Myles Garrett told him right away that Mason Rudolph did use a racial slur. How much weight does that carry with you when John Dorsey says that he knew it right away, and in text messages to Nate Ulrich says it's, quote, correct, and it's also, quote, it's the truth, when Mike Tomlin today went on ESPN's First Take and, as you would expect him to do, denied that it ever happened?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a he said situation, obviously, it's a very sensitive topic, okay? But this is where my common sense tends to prevail and believe Myles Garrett,
mm-hmm.
because Myles is mild mannered. He's a very quiet personality, And, you know, there's one word that'll set, you know, an African-American man off. And it is that word that Myles Garrett alleges Mason Rudolph used. And if you do a little search of Mason Rudolph's social media history, you'll be able to see what side of the political spectrum he's a fan of. And that language is very prevalent among some that might lean that way. So I'm not saying that Rudolph said that. I don't know that. The NFL denies that there's audio, which, again, I don't believe based on how I know those games are produced. Somebody had to hear something. There's microphones everywhere yep. around those fields. It was a historical moment for the Cleveland Browns in the sense of those closing seconds. It was the first time in years the Browns beat the Steelers. This is happening on national television. Wouldn't you want to capture Myles Garrett getting that sack to seal the game? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't buy the league's explanation that there's no audio and everybody's playing dumb and this is a he said, he said and whatnot. So now, there's a chance that, yes, Mason Rudolph didn't say that, and Myles Garrett thought he heard Mason Rudolph say that. I just, you know, something set Myles Garrett off. I don't know what that was, but something triggered him, and what he alleges certainly provides a plausible explanation for why someone of his personality type would respond in such a violent nature the way he did.
Darryl, you've been covering the NFL for a very long time. Can you tell me what the game plan for Mike Tomlin would be? Like, what does he benefit in going on ESPN's First Take today?
Well, obviously, he's sticking up for his player. He wants to show his locker room that he sticks up for everybody, has everybody's back. He certainly wasn't there when it happened or didn't happen. So, he obviously believes his player didn't say anything, and that's his right. That's, you know, I don't know what advantage or not that gives him to do that, but he clearly wanted to get out there today and show his support for Mason Rudolph.
Darryl Rutter, thank you so much. Great stuff as always. And, of course, read Darryl's latest at 923thefan.com. Thanks again, Darryl. Enjoy your night.
You got it, JP.
He's Darryl Rutter in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.